Eric Metaxas here. Please join me in a life-saving mission to set Sudanese slaves free through Christian Solidarity International. Since 1995, CSI has freed more than 100,000 women and children from years of bondage and abuse. Your $250 gift frees, feeds, and heals these captives and sets them on a path to a new life in freedom. Please help us free another slave now. Call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or click the CSI banner at MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com.
Here. You know, sometimes I forget to wash. For weeks at a time, my body takes on an earthy, musky smell like loamy topsoil. I'm mighty proud of my stink, because it's a man-sized stink. Can you smell me through your radio? If so, I'm sorry, but I can smell you, so we're even. Speaking of smells, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. I don't know about you, but I like it when I get to have guests on the show. So we have guests pretty much every day. Right now, I don't really have a guest. It's an opening segment. But you know what, Albin? You and Chris, you could be my guests. I could interview you, we could talk. But I feel Mike Lindell, his presence is always near. So we should probably, before we have our fun conversation, remind people that when you go to MyPillow.com to purchase your groceries, but they're selling like everything there now. When you go to MyPillow.com to get masks, to get hand sanitizer, whatever it is, Giza sheets, ammunition, whatever they're selling there, use the code ERIC. Don't forget that. Okay.
Well, if you're going to be in a pillow fight, then you can get your ammunition there at MyPillow.
Yes, that's exactly what I meant. We have coming up in a moment, Brandon Tatum. Some of you know who he is. He's one of the he's one of the co-founders of the Blexit movement with Candace Owens. He was a police officer for years. He's a real hero, and I'm thrilled that we have him. He is no fan of Black Lives Matter, and I think we need to hear from Black Americans who do not buy in to the Marxist baloney of the Black Lives Matter movement, or who buy into the woke madness. I think I mentioned a couple times this week that I tweeted out something about Jesus being white, and it was like a tongue-in-cheek kind of provocative thing. No one seems to have taken it in the spirit in which I meant it. It is an unbelievable thing. I was sort of teasing the idea of white supremacy, and the woke folks out there, they don't seem to... Either they don't appreciate nuance, or they thought I was trying to be a white nationalist or a Christian nationalist or something. They actually seem to believe this, and they've written articles about it, painting a picture of me that I'm glad I don't recognize. Let me put it that way. But my goodness, when you see Christians doing this, you realize things are bad out there. So any of you who are tempted to give in to this kind of woke cancel culture, folks, we've got to give each other grace. I mean, it is just absolutely crazy. I'm stunned. I see conservatives doing the same thing. I see Christians doing it. It's not healthy. We need to try to understand what people mean. At least, you know, having been through that this week, I feel it the more keenly. Haters gonna hate, but you know, there's not much you can do about it. I'm speechless.
Yeah. It's amazing. By the way, I was in the local grocery store, I guess a couple weeks back, and you know, people were wearing their masks, which everywhere you go, and that's fine, right? But this one woman was wearing a black mask, and on it said, "I can't breathe." And then it had like the little hashtag BLM. And I'm not kidding. I thought to myself, is the National Lampoon now making these masks? I know what it's referring to. Yeah, yeah, you know what it's referring to, but you don't put that on the mask. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
It's like, yeah, except now we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Well, Eric, back to your point about having people like Brandon Tatum come on. I think, you know, it's tricky because, you know, you when you say you both could say the same thing about BLM, but obviously Brandon Tatum with his background, you know, and who he is, has a different frequency, and people can hear it in a different way. Whereas if you say the same thing, if you read the same sheet of paper, they would just, you know, say, oh, well, he's just being, you know, an elitist white, whatever. Whereas when it comes from people that have sort of the credibility from that community, it's undeniable. You kind of can't argue with it other than to just, you know, I think the worst thing you could say was, oh, they're an Uncle Tom or something like that.
Yeah. Well, that's like Bevelyn Beatty. You know, what she did with the Black Lives Matter logo or whatever, she had to do that, so to speak.
Well, that's the thing. The least we can do on this program is give a voice to folks like that, because clearly they're not being invited onto the Today Show, for example. It is important that we hash this out. It's an uncomfortable subject. It's uncomfortable to be living in times that are this crazy. But those of us who call ourselves Christians, we're supposed to look to Jesus in the midst of everything. If you get something wrong, God loves you. He has grace for you. The cancel culture has no grace. And I think that's part of the reason that we can see that it's not of God. I mean, you know, there's a kind of it's like a puritanical morality that has been transferred over to the left, but we've seen it through history. I mean, you see it in the French Revolution. You see it, you know, ever since the French Revolution, effectively, like mobs that create their own morality, and that if you go slightly afoul of it, you're immediately attacked. And it's ugly. It is consonant with Marxist ideology, with atheist ideology. There is no grace. There is no love. And there's no really moral order. It keeps changing. They keep changing the goalposts. You could have said something of 10 years ago was fine. Suddenly it's horrible. Right. So we are living in weird times. And I just want to tell people that, you know, on this program, we try to bring guests on who can help you make sense of these things. We do ask your prayers, because sometimes it gets tough. You know, we don't have anything like the platform that somebody like a Tucker Carlson does. But we ask your prayers, because it can be tough sometimes. We're living in very weird times. By God's grace, we do have some tremendous guests on. Earlier this week, we had on John Solomon. Wow. I have to say, he is amazing. He has an ability to... You know that this guy's a straight up journalist, and when he tells the story of what went on in the Hillary Clinton campaign that led to them doubling down on the Russia hoax, I thought it was a big eye opener for me to suddenly see the motive behind the Russia craziness. Because in some ways the Russia craziness didn't make any sense, but he helped me to understand that. So usually when I have great guests on the program, I learn things. This is not just for you folks. It's for me as well. But I'm just so grateful to all the folks that we have on. Next week, honestly, to talk to Phil Robertson, he's the best. I can't wait to talk to Phil Robertson. Yeah. And I'm sorry I have to wait to next week. But I think we have him for the whole hour. He's just a rock. The duck commander.
Hour two today is John Lennox. He's got a coronavirus book out right now.
Oh my gosh, I forgot. Okay, so we have that to look forward to. We've got so much to look forward to. It's dizzying. So in a couple of seconds, Brandon Tatum. If you don't know who he is, I am thrilled to introduce him to you. He's, again, one of these voices that, you know, the mainstream media pretends that these folks don't exist. When you hear Bevelyn Beatty, when you hear Candace Owens, when you hear Bob Woodson, you start realizing, whoa, there are tons of people in the Black community who, you know, not only are they devout Christians, but they're more pro-Trump than anybody I know. They hate BLM more than any white person that I know, and they're not afraid to talk about it. So I'm really thrilled we finally got Brandon Tatum. He loves the cops. He'll talk about all of this. Final reminder before we go to the break. Mike Lindell simply insists that wherever you see his commercials, whenever you feel tempted to go to MyPillow.com, give in to the temptation and do not forget to use the code Eric. If you don't use the code Eric, you know, Mike won't be happy. And you don't want to make Mike mad. It's happened to me, and I lost a finger. And that's all I'm going to say. We're out of time. We'll be back with Brandon Tatum. No, no, no.
Can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head?
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Do I have a guest for you? Have you heard of Brandon Tatum? Well, it doesn't matter because you're going to hear about him now in case you haven't heard of him. Brandon Tatum, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
I don't know how to describe you. You were a police officer, correct?
Yes, sir.
So that's kind of your claim to fame, and you're a co-founder of the Blexit movement. Is that safe to say?
Yes.
And Blexit obviously is blacks exiting from the Democratic Party.
100%.
Is that how you'd put it?
Yeah, I mean, this is how I would put it. I mean, Blexit is kind of similar to Brexit. And for us, it's not necessarily just exiting the Democratic Party, but it's having a free mindset, exiting the bondage of having to be a monolith. So that's kind of the way we categorize it at Blexit.
Well, I like that. I've watched you here and there, and I just said it would be fun to talk to you. You have a new website called the Tatum Report. What is that?
So the Tatum Report is an aggregate website where we have all of the verified news that is accurate, that's relevant, that people can go to and find good sourcing. Because right now, you know, we have a struggle with fake news being out there. And I know a lot of people that follow me, they often ask me, hey, where do I get my news? Where do I go? What website or whatever? And so we've developed something where everybody can go. My videos are there. Merch is there. Everything you need from B. Tatum will be on the TatumReport.com.
All right. So people can go to the TatumReport.com. I want to get your story. That's one of the beautiful things about this program is we have a little time. It's not, you know, a 5-minute TV hit. So if you don't mind, what is your story? Where'd you grow up? How'd you grow up? How'd you become a cop? What led you to where you are today politically? Where do we begin?
So I'm born and raised in Fort Worth, Texas. I grew up in the Stop 6 area. Also, we grew up in the Crowley area. So people that know Fort Worth, they kind of know the two different places that I'm referring to. I was in the athletics my whole life. Football was my thing. Obviously, growing up in Texas, you either play football or you're a loser. So I played football, and I became an All-American football player in high school. I was a top player in the nation. I had an opportunity to have a scholarship to just about every university in the United States of America. I chose to go to the University of Arizona. I thought that the coaches there were great men. I thought that Mark Stoops and Mike Stoops, who were the coaches there, would develop a program that will lead me to success and lead me to playing in the NFL. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. Some of it was my fault. Some of it was just, you know, injuries and different things like that. However, even though my career wasn't what I would like for it to have been, I was still in the 2010 NFL draft. I ended up not getting drafted. And I was crushed. That was everything for me was football. And for that, my dream to not come true, it was very heartbreaking. But as a man, and I was mentored by some really good people, they told me that, look, and you can't chase football forever. So when you have an opportunity or when you've exhausted all of your opportunities with football, you need to put an X on the calendar and transition. And so I had a degree at the time. I decided to apply for every job in the city of Tucson. And also at the same time, my son was not born yet. He was about to be born. So I had to make a crucial decision as a father to develop something stable for my child. And so I applied for everything in the city of Tucson. Never in my life thought about being a police officer. Never. Not one positive, I guess, concept in my mind growing up about police. Not necessarily negative either, but I just never thought about it. But when I applied for everything in the city, they ended up calling me back. And I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea about policing, and I decided to do a ride along. And for the first time in my life, I saw a hero in Officer Sean Payne. And that really revolutionized my life. And I made up in my mind at that point that this is what God wants me to do. I'm going to serve my community. I'm going to protect them. And also, I got saved in college is where I really found God. So when you combine my salvation with becoming a police officer, it kind of set me up for success. And then that's when I found out that I was really a conservative.
That's kind of funny because there's a lot of people who are Christians today who are not only not conservative, but very anti-police, very involved in Black Lives Matter and stuff, which I know is a Marxist organization that harms Black Americans, period. But a lot of people don't know that. And I think a lot of people don't care. In other words, I think that people are virtue signaling. They say, I gave money to this, I gave money to that. They kind of look good, but they're actually hurting Black Americans. And I'll be honest with you, I care. And a lot of the people that I know who are Christians or conservatives, they care about Black Americans. And it's so frustrating to see Black Lives Matter hijacking the minds of so many young people. So I'm just fascinated that you mentioned you came to faith in college. If you don't mind, maybe tell us about that. How did that go? What happened?
Yeah, I mean, again, growing up in Texas, you love God and you play football. And so I had God in my heart, growing up. I was what I would consider to be, we were in the church, but the church wasn't in us. So that means that we weren't consistently faithful to the church, but we had God in our concept going into college. And when my first few years of college, I mean, I did everything I wanted to do. I acted a fool. And then the rubber hit the road and football wasn't working out for me the way I had envisioned. And so with that, like most people, then I want to come to God and say, you know what, God, I need your help. You know, my life is going in a direction I don't want it to go. I need to really confide and figure out where my faith stands. And so I decided to go to church in 2008. I was invited by a friend, went to Emmanuel Grace Apostolic Church. And I mean, it just changed my life. I mean, I went from wearing gold teeth in my mouth. I mean, I got tattoos all over my stomach and my arms, sagging my pants. I would say a curse word every word out of my mouth. And God just revolutionized who I was. I mean, instantaneously. When I came out of the water after being baptized, it all went away. And so, you know, that was a crucial point in my life. And that pretty much led me to, I believe, led me away from football and led me to something, in my opinion, more noble, more sustainable, something that I built my character on. And it's made me the man I am today.
Well, I'm glad you shared that, because there's so many people listening who don't realize that God made us and he loves us and he has a purpose and a plan for each of us. And often it is exactly when things go away from the direction we're hoping that that's the moment that we turn to God and we can see him, if we turn to him, bringing us to exactly what he created for us. I mean, that's just the way he often works. That's the way it happened in my life, so many lives. But so you're serious about your faith. And I mean, what do you say today as a Black American? And I see your shirt that you're wearing. It says, Black is crossed out, white is crossed out, and just says American. What do you say as an American about this Black Lives Matter movement? Because I've gotten so angry about it, because it feels to me there's nothing worse in my mind than communism and Marxism. And when I see this happening in my own country under the guise of caring about race, it's very upsetting to me.
Yeah, I mean, Black Lives Matter is a domestic terrorist organization. And I don't care what anybody says. When you are going out and you're threatening people and you're using violent force to push a political agenda, they're not helping Black people. They're not pushing an agenda that helps Black people. If they were, then they would be in the inner cities pushing an agenda for education, pushing an agenda to abolish these abortion mills. They will be pushing an agenda to help young Black people not get shot in the head while at a birthday party. So, but they're not doing that. They're marching and protesting for political gain as a military arm of the Democratic Party. And Black Lives Matter and Antifa are both in conjunction to destroy America. And if people have not noticed that at this point, I mean, you must be falling asleep behind the wheel. These people are not here to do anything positive, or they would have had something done way back in when Trayvon Martin was killed. I have not seen any strategy. I have not seen any direction by Black Lives Matter. And I have not seen any of the leaders condemn any of the violent acts and murder. I mean, I just don't understand. How can you be a supporter or an advocate for Black lives, yet your movement and protest has killed more Black lives than who you're fighting against, which is supposed to be the police department? So when you're killing more Black people than the police department you're fighting against, you have a huge problem.
Well, you know, a lot of us see that if we're watching conservative media. But that to me is the horror, is that we're at a time in America right now where the media and what used to be journalistic organizations, the news, they are so biased that they're not even reporting truly horrible things. I mean, it's one thing, obviously, if you have some kind of a slant, but most people are not hearing what you just said. Anyway, we're going to go to a break. Folks, I have the privilege of talking to Brandon Tatum. You can go to the Tatum Report online. We will be right back. Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. The Trump campaign has a special offer just for you. The president really wants to give you a signed 2020 Make America Great Again hat. He wants to make sure the lucky winner is one of his top supporters. Be sure to enter soon, because this is an opportunity you don't want to miss. The offer is only going to a select group of supporters, and you're one of them. All you have to do is text Metaxas to 88022 today for your chance to win a piece of history, a 2020 Make America Great Again hat. Again, that's Metaxas, Metaxas to 88022 to enter to win this contest and join President Trump in the fight to keep America great for four more years. This was paid for by Donald J. Trump for President, Inc. Folks, welcome back to the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Brandon Tatum. Brandon, you've been out there a lot recently. I guess Dennis Prager has interviewed you. You've been on TV. It really encourages me to see somebody with your skin color saying the things you're saying, because if you know, I know so many Black Americans like you, but I don't see them in the media. The media keeps telling me that unless I think like, you know, Al Sharpton or I don't know, whoever else, Kamala Harris, that there are not, there aren't folks like you. So you and Candace Owens and so many others are really revolutionizing the way people think about race in America. But your voices, as I say, you're not out there very much. Have you ever gotten opportunities in the mainstream media on CNN or those kind of places?
I mean, I've gotten opportunities on Fox News plenty of times, but CNN probably would never have me on because it bucks against their agenda. They don't want to see strong Black men present on any of their social media platforms or any of their news networks promoting truth. They want you to be deceived. They want you to think every Black person thinks alike and every Black person is a BLM Marxist. And that's not true. There's a lot of Black people in this country, and I like to call them Americans of African descent, that love this country, that fight for this country, believe in capitalism, believe in entrepreneurship, believe in raising their children and all of the above. But they have an agenda. And at this point, unfortunately, anything that's counter to President Trump, what he has accomplished, they have to be full throttle. And President Trump has invited me and others to the White House. I don't know. I've been there five times already. He has had an open invitation that people can come to him and give suggestions on what he can do to help out communities. Historically, Black colleges have been there. Black pastors all around the country have been there. He invited these weenie crybaby athletes, but they decide not to show up. And that's on them. That's not really a reflection of most Americans and people who actually care. But I just want to let it be known that there is a lot of Black people, Americans of African descent who are out here, some of which are in a position where they can't speak out. So that's why Candace Owens and myself is very important. That's why we take our role in this movement very seriously. We have become the voice of the voiceless, not only for Americans of African descent, but also for Americans of Caucasian descent or whatever you want to call it. So we take that seriously. That's why we do this on a day-to-day basis. I literally make 3 videos a day on my YouTube channel. I mean, if we do the math, that's about 90 videos a month. And, you know, I do the best that I can to keep promoting the message. We developed TatumReport.com where people can go and get real news so they don't have to worry about the monolithic thought that is presented in Americans of African descent and then other Americans as well.
Are you and Candace able to get out into the Black community in a way that you would reach people who don't already think like you? Because to me, as you just said, you know, maybe Fox News will have you on, I will have you on, but increasingly it's an echo chamber, and the mainstream media is preventing your message from getting to your average person out there.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably doing a reasonable job preventing a message like mine from getting to their audience. But just last month, we had over 30 million page views on my YouTube channel. So, I mean, I'm reaching a lot of people on my own platform, and I guarantee you Candace has more than me. So they may be trying to obstruct us on their platforms, but I mean, believe it or not, people are not watching the news as much as they used to because it's fake. People go on and they watch individuals whom they trust, whom they can verify content from. And that's how we're getting our message out there. You know, physically going to South Side of Chicago is probably not a good idea unless you can structure it in a way that's safe, in a way that's respectful. I think a lot of people presume that because we're Black and we talk about Black issues, we should just show up in the hood somewhere. I grew up in the hood, so I understand that you can't just do things like that and be perceived as not being disrespectful. And we've seen that the young man, and I forget what state he was in, but he was on the side of the road promoting Trump and he ended up getting shot and killed. So it's not a game out there. But what we've been able to do strategically is with Blexit, we've been able to communicate with people that live in these communities, that they can go and be activists in their own communities and feed people, partner with the police department and all of the above, which is something that we're trying to expand across the country, you know, with the Blexit movement. And then also we've been able to go over the sound waves. Like I said, the fastest way to a person's heart, in my personal opinion, is through their brain. And once they begin to listen, once they begin to break that foul ground in their hearts to reject the idea that we're pushing, then they begin to open up. And it starts with them hearing words in the mind. And I think that we're very effective in that area.
I had Bevelyn Beatty on this program last week, and she straight up said that Black Lives Matter is against strong Black men, that they're anti the Black man. What's your response to her thinking on that?
Yeah, Bevelyn Beatty, I had her on my show as well. She's a tremendous young lady. I mean, I love her to death. I love how she's passionate about God, and I love how she's passionate about what she believes as far as this movement. And she's been boots on the ground doing the work. What I think about Black Lives Matter is, of course they do. That's the whole strategy. The Democrats and the leftists have been the same ever since slavery. They attack the man, they create a dysfunction within the household and a dysfunction of the image of the man in the community. And the reason that they do that is so they can break down the complete fabric of the Black community. And 100%, it was founded by, I believe, 2 or 3 lesbian women who on their website say that they want to destroy the patriarchy. And so you can't get any more clear than that. But the strong thing for the Black community is the strong Black man.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, man. We're going to be right back, folks. Don't go away. Folks, I'm talking to Brandon Tatum. Brandon, do you still go by Officer Brandon Tatum? I mean, how does that work?
Well, on my social media, I still go by The Officer Tatum. And the reason behind that is because when I started out my social media, I was a police officer. And all of my social media was consistent. it's kind of branding for me. And then I just never let that go. And then another reason why is because forever, until the day I die, I will always be a police officer at heart. I will always believe in supporting the police department. And those tactics, the things that I've seen, the things that I learned will never escape me. And they've shaped me to becoming the man I am today. So I think it's an appropriate term that I continue to use. It's very honorable. And the people that follow me, they recognize me in that way.
So what do you think about when you see this madness that people are continually trying to portray cops as racist? I mean, it kind of amazes me that this goes on and on when I see so many black officers, even in these videos. What do you say to this idea that cops are racist? You were a cop for quite a while.
I'll tell them, prove it. Prove that they're racist. Don't just tell me because a white officer had an interaction with a black man that's racism. That's the dumbest thing and most uneducated, weak-minded thing that anybody could ever project. I was a police officer for 6.5 years. I worked on a majority white and Hispanic police department. I never felt that I didn't have opportunities. Matter of fact, I probably was the one of the most popular and the most accelerated person on the police department. Never met a racist police officer. Now, I met officers that people may perceive to be racially insensitive, but police officers can't be perfect humans, you know, and none of them were racist. I believe that police officers are probably the least racist people in America. Ask me why. Because they have to be exposed to a variety of different individuals at a point at which they're risking their lives to protect. It's not just saying hi and bye and waving at them while you drive, you know, drive by the front yard. You literally have to go in. You don't have any idea. You cannot pick what race. You go in and you protect and serve with your life on a day-to-day basis for all Americans. So are there racist cops out there? I'm sure that there are. I'm sure that there's doctors out there that have seen me that's probably a blatant racist. But when you look at the totality of policing in America, it is very rare that police officers are racist. And if you ask me, the very basic police officer is probably a better human than most people walking around.
And what do you think of this idea that, you know, like with the 1619 project, that people are being taught to hate America, that America is inherently racist and flawed, and that patriotism is a bad thing?
Well, if they want to run with focusing on the sins of and never having a level of forgiveness, then they can't operate in anything. They can't like America. They can't like TV shows. They can't like people. They can't like Jesus. They can't like the Bible. I mean, you could go down the list, man. I mean, there are things, and I'm not saying Jesus was perfect, but what I'm saying is the things that were in the Bible weren't always kosher. You know, David in the Bible, he cheated on his wife. Paul, Peter, you know, Peter denied Jesus. Paul persecuted Christians. So when you look at the totality of life, you have to understand that you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, and you have to have a level of forgiveness in your heart. So people have lacked a level of forgiveness for America, and forgiveness is not for America. You know, when a person forgives America, that's not for America, that's for you. And I think Black Americans who had nothing to do with slavery shouldn't even be going down this path. But if you do want to associate your ancestry with slavery and the things that were done wrong in this country, then you, at some point, you have to have a level of forgiveness to say, you know what, America, I forgive the sins of this country and we're ready to move forward, especially people who are claiming to be Christian. But in the totality of circumstances in this country, this is the greatest country on planet Earth. There is no discrimination on a large scale. There's no systemic racism in this country. If you get up and you work hard and you do what's right, you're going to be successful. And success doesn't mean you have to be a billionaire. Success means that you can wake up every day, you're in a free country, and you can make your own, you know, your own plate and your own place to live. Those things are affordable. Now, if you decide to smoke crack, you decide to sell drugs, you decide to go to prison, you decide to have children out of wedlock, you decide not to get an education when it's free in public schools, if you decide to look at your family and say that, look, they're all uneducated and they're going nowhere in life and I want to be just like them, or do you want to turn the corner and build and say, look, I'm going to be better than the way I was raised? Those decisions are made by the individual. The problem with these haters of America is they want to be a groupthink. They want to be a collective. We are individuals in this country having a collective experience. But people need to look in the mirror. Before you get out here and protest, before you start becoming an activist, how about you be an activist in your own life? Do you make your bed when you wake up in the morning? Do you brush your teeth? Are you consistent on a day-to-day basis? Are you helping other people? Those are the things that you should be an activist for. And when you develop a personality and you develop a solid foundation in your own personal life, then you can go tell other people what to do. So I'll tell anybody that don't like this country, then leave. Of course, you're not going to leave. So forgive the country and move forward.
You know what I take away from what you just said? I didn't make my bed this morning. I got to go.
Well, you know, I saw a gentleman. I don't know what his rank is. He was in the military, and his speech, his motivational speech was make your bed every morning. That is your first accomplishment. You can start the day out feeling good and accomplished, and it's easy to do. It's free. So you better make your bed. See, my wife makes our bed, so let me not lie on this thing.
But no, it's so interesting, man. You just say so much that I think people need to hear, and I think we need to understand, you know, that Marxism and Black Lives Matter is harmful to Blacks in America. In other words, I think we need to say that over and over and over again, because there are people that they're just not hearing that. If you really, really care about the urban poor, for example, you better not give money, or you better not give, any kind of applause to Black Lives Matter. But that, again, that message is not getting out. And I really feel like it's because I care about my fellow man that I have to care about Black. I have to care about not portraying Black Lives Matter in such a way that it's even neutral. It is an evil organization. You've given us information on that. 20 seconds left. What do you say to your brothers and sisters across the country who are watching?
Keep God first. Keep the faith. Love this country. And visit TatumReport.com.
And don't forget to see the film Uncle Tom, which awesome. You are in. That is awesome. What an amazing film, Uncle Tom. Brandon Tatum, I hope this is just the beginning of a friendship, and that you can be back here often. We just value what you're doing. God bless you.
God bless you too. Anytime.
Hey, folks, and by folks, I mean those of you who are listening. Chris Himes, my producer.
Hello.
Sater, my producer. When I say folks, hi, I'm referring to you also. And to Mike Lindell, the bobblehead doll, who actually is based on a real person. Now, no kidding, we have had an amazing number of big deal guests this week. Next week, it gets even crazier. Mike Lindell, the real person, will be with us next week. He is a true force of nature. So I'm already, you know, trying to get mentally and physically prepared, because he just comes at you like he's a one-man tsunami. And that's a compliment. So we've got Mike Lindell coming on. And actually, since I mentioned Mike Lindell, I should refer to the fact that if you go to MyPillow.com, you must use the code Eric. It's now a law. And when you go to MyPillow.com, whatever you order, they've got face masks, they've got hand sanitizer, they've got Mike Lindell's book, which is an unbelievable book.
They got Alvin Lindell.
Alvin, you've got one too.
I do. I have one too.
Whatever you get the Giza sheets, whatever you get, you've got to use, by law, you've got to use the code Eric. I just want to mention that. Okay. Next week, we also will have Phil Robertson, the Duck Commander, will be on this program. We have Jorge Valdez. Wow, what a story. This guy, I mean, I'm not making this up. He controlled 95% of the drugs for the Medellin cartel. Like, not joking, okay? In the late 70s, this guy was a multi-millionaire in his 20s. He tells his whole insane story and then becomes a Christian. Wow, that's next week. And I guess I shouldn't forget to mention that we have Diamond and Silk next week.
Diamond and Silk next week.
I never know which one's Diamond, but it really doesn't matter.
I think you're diamond and I'm silk.
Yeah,
I don't know who Chris is.
No, 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 that's right. That's
I'm
right.
Polyester.
Chris is Larry.
I'm polyester.
Polyester, ha ha. But we have diamond and silk next week. But this week, my goodness, we have had so many wonderful guests: John MacArthur, Brandon Tatum, John Lennox coming up. It just goes on and on and on. Did David we have Wood. Vice President Biden on? Did we or did we not?
Who's that?
David Wood, though.
David Wood. Oh, my gosh. David Wood. We're putting all of these up as videos. If you do not, forgive me for repeating myself, folks, but honestly, if you don't get our weekly newsletter, I don't know what to tell you. Go to ericmetaxas.com, please. You don't know what you're missing.
Unless you sign up, you're not a patriot.
ericmetaxas.com, sign up for the newsletter. You will see it's all teed up, all the videos, bing, 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 right there with descriptions. Please do that. If you can, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please follow me on Twitter. If you want to see how people hate me, follow me on Twitter. The haters are out. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. The haters are out. I think I said something really, really incendiary, like Jesus was Jewish, and people got very upset about that. Evidently, they didn't know. They thought he was Palestinian or the head of the PLO. I don't even know. But,
you know,
go ahead.
It's going to be very awkward when he returns, but it'll settle the argument. You know, we'll be able to see him in the sky, and that'll be that.
And that's right. But he's so sensitive, you know, he doesn't want to offend anybody. You know,
right. Well, so, and if he's too white, he'll kind of disappear in the clouds because he'll kind of be like,
something like that, something equally divisive. Anyway, thank the Lord, we're out of time, folks. Thank you for listening. Do not forget to sign up for our newsletter. Don't forget. Mike Lindell wants you to use the code ERIC, and check us out on YouTube, and please share these videos with your friends. Thank you.